Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. It's August 25th, 2018, and we are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet. Take us with you wherever we are. You can go to WVON.com, and, of course, you can get social, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are engaging, empowering, connecting, and transforming veterans by being the hub to veterans affairs, information, resources, and referrals. We are sponsored by Attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP, at 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275. The office is 312-781-1977. Also, America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by AARP Foundation, 222 North LaSalle Street, Suite 760. The office is 312-660-8662. Also, proudly sponsored by Friends of Susana Mendoza, 6351 West Montrose Avenue, office 301, Chicago, Illinois. Office number is 312-834-4210. And we're also proudly sponsored by Pearl's Place Down Home Southern Cooking.
Yeah.
At 3901 South Michigan, Chicago. And the number is 877-275-5852. And this is particularly interesting because we have a buffet dinner there.
Yes, we do. Tonight at 6, from 6 to 7:30, we're asking veterans, community, family members, come out, meet America's Heroes Group, sit down and eat and have some delicious food at Pearl's Place.
That's
from
right.
6 to 7:30 with America's Heroes Group.
That's the voice of Glenda Smith, who is our executive producer, who can't wait.
Oh, yes.
Right. Also, on our panel, Sean Claiborne is here, producer. How are you?
Very good.
Sean,
how are you doing?
And also, attorney Ernesto Borges, a member of our executive committee. How are you, sir?
Great. Good afternoon, Cliff.
Good.
And audience?
Bill Busters.
Yes, absolutely. Bill Busters. So we're happy to have all of them here, and of course, we'll look forward. We'll be announcing that again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get into this. We have a CNN clip where McCain discontinues treatment for brain cancer.
Grim news coming, Ryan, this morning from the family of Senator John McCain. They just came out with a lengthy statement, notably saying that the senator has chosen to discontinue medical treatment, that he will no longer receive medical treatment that he's been receiving for that very aggressive form of brain cancer that he's been dealing with in a rather public way since last July, when he was formally diagnosed with brain cancer. I want to read you you the statement that just came out from his family saying, quote, last summer, Senator John McCain shared with Americans the news our family already knew. He had been diagnosed with an aggressive glioblastoma, and the prognosis was serious. In the years since, John has surpassed expectations for his survival, but the progress of the disease and the inexorable advance of age render their verdict. With his usual strength of will, he has now chosen to discontinue medical treatment. Our family is immensely grateful for the support and for the kindness of all his caregivers over the last year, and for the continuing outpouring of concern and affection from John's many friends and associates and the many thousands of people who are keeping them in their prayers. God bless and thank you all. So certainly a significant statement about the future of John McCain, the future of his health. Notable there, of course, Ryan, they note not only the aggressive form of cancer that he is suffering with, but of course his age, and that's certainly playing in. He has not been up here on Capitol Hill for quite some time. He is, of course, while he's receiving treatment at his home in Arizona, chimed in from the sidelines, potentially sometimes writing tweets. His office, of course, sending out statements to all the goings-on up here on Capitol Hill, but it has not been some time which we have been seeing up here in the halls of Congress casting that vote. Of course, one of his last votes, that of course very decisive vote on health care, when he notably gave the thumbs down on the Senate floor, casting the fate of that bill, certainly one of his last potential legacies up here on Capitol Hill. But for the moment, of course, many folks up here likely sending their support and love during, of course, what is an incredibly hard time for the McCain family at this moment.
That is unfortunate.
It is.
To say the least. And, of course, the Republicans and the Democrats have said all kinds of good things about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I guess the only Republican who has said anything stupid is Trump.
Okay.
With the comment that he made that he didn't feel that people were captured with heroes, remember when he
right.
said that?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, this man was in captivity for 5.5 years at the Hanoi Hilton or whatever they used to call it. Yeah, and it's a shame, you know, that somebody who has got 5 deferments you know, he's never visited the troops over yet. I mean, since he's been in office, he's never gone to Afghanistan mm-hmm. or Iraq. Mm-hmm. And here's a man who has served his country as his father did and grandfather. And I should hope the president would have something to say. But
absolutely. No. Mm-hmm. He would certainly think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will always remember when he ran for president against Barack yeah. Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And at one of his town hall meetings, mm-hmm. someone in the audience made a comment regarding Barack being Muslim or whatever.
Yeah, called him an Arab.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. he took that moment to be an mm-hmm. example of how mm-hmm. politics really should be, mm-hmm. because he didn't allow that person
right.
to say something mm-hmm. that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right.
integrity.
I'm quite sure he wanted to be president, and he could have sure. ridden that moment mm-hmm. out and built the base up and allowed any type of rhetoric, but he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. He stopped and corrected that person.
Yeah.
So I will always honor and respect this man forever, because I may not always agree with what he has said and done, but for the most part, when it was time for John McCain to stand up, he stood.
Yeah.
So salute John McCain.
I'm not sure whether there's any truth to this or not, but they also mentioned the fact that he could have gotten out earlier.
Out
of Hanoi Hilton.
Right. Right. They say he could have, and he refused.
He refused and looked for his other soldiers to get out.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, that's just the evidence of a man that has integrity and also has some values and mm-hmm. actually cares about his country.
Yeah.
You know, we always have different ideas and different opinions about how we should express our love for the country and also mm-hmm. love for our community. But at the end of the day, you have to give a person credit and look at the merit of someone who is really to sacrifice himself personally
yes.
and spend the time to right. actually invest in the community, which
exactly.
he's done.
The definition of America's heroes. Yes.
A real patriot.
Yes.
Exactly. Certainly is. We wish him well and his family.
Absolutely.
This is reported by CNN also.
It's a handout.
Which is, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's reported by CNN in a handout. Unfortunately, we'll have to hear more about that. But they're saying the VA may have fumbled over 1,000 sexual trauma claims. That's according to a report. Who wants to say something about that?
Well, you know, when I was in the Army, we didn't see women, but I think I saw one. Other than Bob Hope's show when I saw Anne Margaret, but other than
that. Oh, you saw Anne
Margaret? Yeah. I was at the Bob Hope Christmas show in 1968. Yeah, right. Bob Hope, Anne Margaret. But we didn't, I didn't have much contact, although at Fort Dix, we did see, you know, women who came to the NCO club and danced, but it went on quite a bit then. Some of it was actually, same sex harassment. It wasn't all just male on female.
Right. Yeah.
It was it worked in a same sex type situation also. But you know, I wonder if this is intentional, not just a fumbling. I think fumbling is maybe too light a word. It's like the Russians interfered and tried to meddle. Mm-hmm. You know, how about they attacked us? You know, I think this fumbling is not the proper word to use.
Right.
I think it was a little more intentional than simply fumbling. There's still a lot of misogynism, misogyny in the Army. Mm-hmm. A lot of these officers are not going to charge other officers. Some of them are higher up officers, mm-hmm. from generals on down.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it? Who was it? Petraeus?
Mm-hmm.
Who had the affair
gave
top secret information to his girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
So it goes all from the top all the way down.
And I'm sure there's a lot more of it probably now, at least being reported, than it was when we were there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because women are much more involved.
Present, right?
Yeah.
The Me Too movement, I think, has really given them a pathway to saying, okay, us too.
Right.
Yeah. Hello, we're here. We're here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, folks who've been in the service, you know how it is when someone outranks you. I mean, even if you're a sergeant over a private or a corporal, and imagine what it's like if there's an officer and you're an enlisted person, how they can take advantage of you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you're, I mean, in the military, rank means a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, a 3-star general has to bow to a 4-star general, mm-hmm. you know. It doesn't make it right.
Absolutely.
It happens. Yeah.
So stay tuned because we're going to have more follow-ups regarding this report. Absolutely.
Yep. Also, hundreds of thousands has been reported. Hundreds of thousands of veterans' appeals have dragged out by a huge backlog. This was a report. The VA on track to process a record 80,000 appeals in 2018 amid waiting list of about 238,000.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things with that is, and as I said, I just got, classified as 80% disability,
mm-hmm.
and it happened fairly quickly, 6 months.
Yeah, I know.
That's all it took. But now I could appeal that to try to get 100%, and everybody tries to get 100%. I don't say everybody, but a lot of people do. I haven't appealed mine. But, you know, because you get certain benefits. You get dental. You get, if you get 100%, you get free dental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll give you implants, everything. 80%, you get nothing. So a lot of people are trying to push for 100%, and I think some are deserving, some are not.
Right.
It's just because we see that number, it doesn't mean that everybody
exactly.
is really in need of 100%.
Exactly.
That's why I haven't bothered to appeal. I'm happy with 80, but and surprised that I got 80, but happy. But that's what happens. You know, everybody, and I don't say everybody, but I know a lot of guys are all pushing for 100%, and they've appealed it, and so there's a backlog, and that's.
But as you're saying, in many that doesn't mean that they really haven't done the right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The VA, I'm talking about.
Right, exactly. VA, they're dragging their feet.
Yeah.
In certain instances,
but in others,
these are people who have disability.
Right.
But they want to increase it from 80 to 100 or.
And not new filings.
They're just appealing their classification.
Gotcha.
And some, of course, got denied altogether, and they're appealing from zero to trying to get something. So. And many of them are very deserving. Most of them, I'd say, probably deserving.
Mm-hmm.
It's politics too, and it's money.
Right. Absolutely,
it's money.
Absolutely,
yeah.
With all the money that's wasted, I can't blame them.
Got $160 million for one plane.
Yeah,
come on.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Glenda, on this situation with the congresswoman? Is that a clip?
Congressman. Yes, it is. You and I were having dinner week before last, and a football game was on. And right. I said, Cliff, some team was playing. You was like, I'm not going to watch because I'm like, okay, but Cliff, you're not at your house, so the ratings are not really being charged to your home. So to make a long story short, but I found this interesting. This Democratic person is challenging Ted Cruz in the red state of Texas, but his answer to a veteran asking him, how do you feel about players kneeling during the anthem? I thought it was priceless because, I mean, he's in a red state and he wants to become the new Congress, new senator from that place. So he could go along with what he thinks is right, but he stood up like a John McCain moment and said what he said.
I kind of wanted to know how you personally felt about how disrespectful it is, like you had the NFL players kneeling during the national anthems. I wanted to know if you found that disrespectful to our country, to our veterans, and anybody related to that. I find it incredibly frustrating that people seem to be okay with that, and I would just like to hear your input.
Thank you. Thanks for a great question. Again, on a really tough issue that if we don't talk about is not going to get better. And the question is, how do you feel about NFL players who take a knee during the national anthem? And is it disrespectful to this country, to the flag, to service members who are right there tonight, where it is tonight in Afghanistan, and those former service members, retirees, and veterans who are here with us today? Thank you each for your service. My short answer is no. I don't think it's disrespectful. Here's my longer answer, but I'm going to try to make sure that I get this right. Because I think it's a really important question. And reasonable people can disagree on this issue. Let's begin there. And it makes them no less American to come down on a different conclusion on this issue, right? You can feel as a young man does, you can feel as I do, you're every bit as American all the same. But I'm reminded, somebody mentioned reading the Taylor Branch book. You did. Parting the Waters and the King Years. And when you read that book and find out what Dr. King and this nonviolent, peaceful movement to secure better, because they didn't get full, civil rights for their fellow Americans, the challenges that they faced, those who died in Philadelphia, Mississippi, for the crime of trying to be a man, trying to be a woman in this country, the young girls who died in the church bombing, those who were beaten within an inch of their life crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, with John Lewis. Those who were punched in the face, spat upon, dragged out by their collar at the Woolworth lunch counter for sitting with white people at the same lunch counter in the same country where their fathers may have bled the same blood on the battlefields of Omaha Beach or Okinawa, or anywhere that anyone ever served this country. The freedoms that we have were purchased not just by those in uniform, and they definitely were, but also by those who took their lives into their hands riding those Greyhound buses, the Freedom Riders in the Deep South in the 1960s, who knew full well that they would be arrested, and they were serving time in the Mississippi State Penitentiary. Rosa Parks getting from the back of the
well,
bus.
Is this a commercial? He may still be talking.
No, he was at a town hall meeting regarding whatever issues he's.
That wasn't a speech. He was responding to a question.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yes.
He was
but
prepared.
He knows
it.
He knows.
He had the symphony going in the background.
I mean, he had, that was a bit rehearsed.
Yeah.
It sounded good, though.
It sure did. His history is something else.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But the fact he stood up and said what he said in a red state when he didn't have to do that.
Yeah, he's running against Cruz, right?
He's running against Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
His words
I
were
wish
meaningful.
Him well.
Yeah, I do, too.
I wish him well.
He had some meaningful words, just a little bit melodramatic with the music. And.
But I think the point I think he's arriving at is she – the president –
Hold on one second.
Sure.
I just want to respond to what Sean said. I agree, but I'm not sure that music wasn't put in there
Afterward. Yeah,
because I think
they wouldn't be at a town hall.
Hell no, right, no, right, no, right. The music was put in there.
But the fact that it's out there now on social media, and that's what people will see and take in.
Absolutely.
They wouldn't have the music in a town hall meeting. Yeah, you were going to say, Glenn?
I sincerely think he hit it on the head when he said veterans should have the final say-so regarding where they think the flag is or the anthem is being disrespected and not the president.
Yeah.
So this football thing needs to sort of go away in terms of you all not appreciating the fact that they have the right to kneel because it is their choice to do so. If veterans don't have a problem with it, then the president and other people, if you haven't served this country, then shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm. And plus, the other thing about it, too, the fact of the matter was when Colin Kaepernick first started kneeling, he did it because he wanted to honor veterans because he thought it would be disrespectful not to do anything or raise a fist or whatever. So that was actually his way of saying, you know what, I don't support the flag or what's going on in this country at the moment, but I do support veterans and people who died for that flag.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was invited to the Bears game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not...
I know, sweetheart.
I'm not going. We can all go.
My problem with Colin Kaepernick, and he is my fraternity brother, is that he's never registered to vote. And that's what disturbs me.
Yeah.
That's what disturbs me. You can't just get on your knees and protest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to vote.
And participate.
And he should be leading people to the polling place.
Right.
For me, leading people to the polling place would be more effective than just saying, help me out here.
Yeah. But the veterans don't feel
you don't know what veterans, because veterans voted for Trump 2-1.
Right.
And why they did that, I cannot understand.
Me either.
The majority of the veterans are Trump supporters.
Right. Yep.
Let's understand that.
Because he campaigned to come in and truly reform VA, which he's not doing. We reported on that last week, and we're going to keep reporting on it.
But there's also
that's why they really supported him.
There's a precedent where Republicans typically get majority of veteran votes and military votes.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. We shall be back with more in just a moment. This is America's Heroes Group. Our number is 773-591-1690. We'll be back with more.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
America, sweet.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, I'm O.S. Owen, the volunteer recruiter for the AARP Foundation Experience Corps. AARP Foundation is proud to partner and sponsor America's Heroes Group. Hey, Cliff, veterans matter, and they're one of the great pillars of our communities across this great country.
As a veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, I totally endorse AARP Foundation Experience Corps volunteer in guiding the next generation of readers.
We both agree veterans would make great volunteers for our children.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, a veteran and the host of America's Heroes Group talk show. Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza, a great friend to the community, has something special to say to you.
Thanks, Cliff. You know I love being on your show, but you know what I love even more? Sponsoring your show and America's Heroes Group that honor the relentless dedication and sacrifice of our veterans across our great country and right here in Illinois. Want to help a veteran today? Do like I did. Please visit AmericasHeroesGroup.org to learn how.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, veteran and host of America's Heroes Group.
Hi, I'm Chuck Bowen, veteran and advisory board member of America's Heroes Group. Veterans, family members, and community.
Please join America's Heroes Group every last Saturday of the month for a buffet dinner at Pearl's Place, starting at 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m.
We can't think of a better place to eat on Saturday than Pearl's Place.
WVON.com, the website. Check it out.
Good afternoon. It is 4:35 on Saturday, August 25th. I'm Cliff Kelly, and of course, this is America's Heroes Group on WVON 1690 AM. We are on iHeartRadio. All you got to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. And of course, you can go to call us at 773-591-1690, and you can get social on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is, as you know, America's Heroes Group, and we have two great guest in our studio. We have Mr. Larry Nasimak, who is a veteran Air Force pilot and vice chairman of the Coalition of Veterans Organization, known as CVO. Larry, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it. Were you going to introduce Mark?
Yes, Mark.
Did you want me to? Either one. Yeah.
Well, Mark is a member of CVO also. He's an Army veteran, graduate of the U.S. Military Academy, West Point, and a dentist for about 40 years now.
Wow. That's great. We were just talking about dental care, too. Yeah. That's right. So tell us about CVO, Larry.
Well, we speak louder.
Before you do that, tell us a little bit about your background as a veteran. What did you do? You were an Air Force pilot, I know. Tell us. Yeah.
Well, I was in, when I got in, they didn't need pilots. They needed navigators, so I was a backseater in the F-4 Phantom. And then got to go to pilot training. They don't want to cross over. It's not cost effective, because then they got to train somebody else to be the navigator, take your place, and you're an older person already. But they always have a few slots open to make you jump through all the hoops, you know, carried on a stick approach. So I was lucky to finally get to go to pilot training.
That's great.
B-52s, F-4s. I mean, on P-38s.
P-38, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, go right ahead. Tell us about
it. So with the coalition is that we speak louder when we join together, speak with one loud voice. You got so many different veterans groups, American Legion Lodges and VFW groups, and we all have the same kind of issues, but one little group can't really approach it on a large scale as much as you can when you join together as a coalition. So like this here, we're working on congressional issues like H.R. 4556.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us about that, H.R. 4556.
Well, we know that, as you were saying before about how the VA does not give dental care, you know, we have to ask, why? I mean, it's like saying, well, we're not going to provide oncology or maybe diabetes care or something like that. Mm-hmm. Why not dental? And we can't really figure out a good reason why. Maybe some people decide that it was cosmetic years ago, but it's not cosmetic now because modern science shows that good dental care prevents all these other things, diabetes and a lot of cancers. Right. And they talk about, well, this is going to be too expensive. Well, think of how much money you're going to save by not having to treat people for all these different diseases. Now, fortunately, we have a bill in Congress, H.R. 4556, which would require the VA to treat dental care just like every other specialty, and it makes sense. Unfortunately, it's probably going to die in committee unless we get more co-sponsors, because we only got 23 co-sponsors, of which 7 are from Illinois because of the way we've been pushing it.
23 co-sponsors.
You know,
That's terrible. Yeah.
So we're hoping by getting on there that the listeners will maybe call their congressman if he's not one of those that's on the list.
But correct me, Larry, if I'm incorrect. But I heard that if you had 100% disability, you were entitled to dental care.
Right,
so it's anybody that's less than 100% is not entitled.
Well, there are certain other subcategories that give you a lot, say, shot in the face. It's to take care of that particular problem. Mm. And I think for like former POWs, there's the whole list. But essentially, we're talking about the 100%.
All right, introduce Mark.
Well, yeah, I just did.
Did you? Oh, yeah, he did.
I mean, that's okay, Kellen. Before I say anything, I just want to say I am so honored to be sitting at this table of honor. It's not often that I get to sit down surrounded by veterans on my left and on my right. Larry, thank you for having me. Mr. Kelly, thank you for having me. Gentlemen, thanks for sitting with me at this table of honor.
Well, you are very kind, particularly a graduate of the military academy.
Well, Mr. Kelly, it was a couple of years ago, but not so long ago that I've forgotten the service that veterans stand and provide our great country to preserve the freedoms that we all cherish. Mm-hmm. Dentistry is an issue that has been neglected, in Larry's opinion and in my opinion. I see a correlation with the way dentistry is treated now and the way exposure to Agent Orange was treated many years ago. I will not let this prevail. I will do anything in my power to shed light on how good dental care yields better medical results for the kids that are treated that stood up and fought for our freedom.
You know, it's so ironic, Doctor, that, you know, you're a graduate of U.S. Military Academy at West Point and so forth. You went to dental school, I presume, after you left the service?
Mr. Kelly, that is correct. Uh-huh. I served on active duty with the field artillery, and after resigning from the military, I was fortunate enough to use the GI Bill to go to dental school at the University of Pennsylvania, where four of my classmates at Penn, while I was there, were graduates of the Military Academy at West Point, and three of them had served on the ground in Vietnam. Two were recipients of the Silver Star.
Wow.
They continued their service to our great country in the dental field after serving on the ground in the Army.
Silver Star recipients.
Boy, that is correct.
Yeah, that's something. So you have? Are you still practicing?
Yes, I am.
I thought you look like you're ready to start.
Why does everybody say that? I guess I must be looking ancient, but that's true.
No, you don't look ancient. No, not at all. You don't look ancient.
Well, thank you very much, Mr.
No,
Kelly.
He's so vigorous. That's why I said I presume you were still practicing.
I've been practicing for 40 years now. Uh-huh. My office is downtown at 30 North Michigan.
Okay.
But in the beginning of my career, you know, I came out to your studios. I used to have an office at 79th and Ashland, and I had another one at 79th and Yates, which isn't too far from the studio.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity to practice here many, many years, and then I've continued my practice downtown Chicago. And I've also, in many ways, continued my service through the organization that Larry's a member of, trying to advocate for more dental care in the VA system.
That is so important. How do you think, Larry was telling us the problem here with only 23 co-sponsors, Doc. What do you see here?
I think a lot of the problem with only 23 co-sponsors presently is we have a little bit more work to do to get the word out. Because once we get the word out, I think we'll have, 423 congressmen?
435.
Thanks, gentlemen. Right. Thanks, gentlemen. I was at the bottom of my class. We will get more members to sign on to the bill once we get the word out and once we establish the need for the bill.
Let me ask you. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was just curious as to what's typical as to sponsorship for a bill. I mean, the normal, because it has to get out of committee first, right? I mean, has it?
Yeah, doesn't it's introduced it in the committee.
House committee.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a House bill. Mm-hmm. So is it still in committee right now?
Yes, and probably we're going to die if we
And how many? And what's the vote in committee to get it out of committee? Do we know? No, we don't know that.
I think, yeah.
But as to sponsorship, how many sponsors do you need to get it? Typically, do you have a large number of sponsors for a bill? Or I'm just wondering whether 23 is sufficient, or you have 435 members, but they're not going to all sponsor the bill. 23 is enough to spot. It has to get out of committee. So I was just wondering what the count is in the committee and who's head of that committee. Do we know? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
We need to get that.
We need to know who the chairman of the committee is.
Yeah.
And what that vote, because it has to get out of committee to get to the full floor.
And this is something that I certainly think would you get a lot of support on.
Because, absolutely.
When you came out, Doc, of the academy, what kind of unit were you in?
I was in the Army, Mr. Kelly, and I served in the field artillery. After I graduated from West Point, I had the opportunity to go to airborne school, field artillery officer basic course. I had an opportunity to serve in Germany, and I served most of my active duty in Texas at Fort Hood in Texas.
Fort Hood, yeah. Okay.
And then after I got out of the military, I had the opportunity to use the GI Bill to go to dental school at Penn.
You didn't go airborne, did you?
He did.
I was airborne.
Oh, you did. What unit?
I was,
82nd.
I wore the wings, the airborne rings, but I was in the 2nd Armored Division, and I like to mention this, that was General Patton's old.
Oh, yeah.
You went to Fort Benning for a jump school?
Yes, I did. And there are many stories correlated to my exposure to airborne training at Fort Benning. Like, all of my jumps were night jumps.
Oh, were they? Really?
Which sounds very, very cool.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is they were night jumps because my eyes were closed.
Oh. I was wondering. I was at Bragg, and I said, gee, that's not that's funny. I hadn't heard that before. Yeah. That's cute.
We also had another.
Yeah, that's great. Well, the thing is, I know we can be introduced. I think that Ernesto was asking some important questions here because we need to help with this if we can. Anybody can introduce it, but you're asking, we need to know the committee it's been assigned to. And because something like this, I think we could get a lot of people involved.
Well, sure. I mean, the committee is probably made up of only, 11, 12 people?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about that committee. Some committees are bigger than others.
Yeah, sure.
But we have to see because we need the majority of the votes to get it out of committee to get it to the floor.
Sure.
Looking at
you got to get a Senate. I don't know if you have anybody over in the Senate working with you.
Can't. When was this first introduced?
In December.
December. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would like to say that Robin Kelly introduced H.R. 2422. It has involving dental care, but the word veteran is not mentioned.
Oh.
She got 83 co-sponsors and it recently passed the House.
Did she?
Now, what was those? It didn't include veterans?
Nothing at all about veterans. So I guess
Medicare?
I guess like Medicaid type
Medicare.
Yeah. Medicare.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
All right.
So what happened to that bill? Do we know?
It passed the House.
Oh, it did?
It's in the Senate. Yeah.
Okay. H.R. 2422.
Robin Kelly.
And she is not a co-sponsor of ours. I mean, we've called her office.
Really?
You never know if when you call the office, you talk to the staff people, but whether or not that reaches the congressman, you don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'll do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is there any projection as to how much it would cost to treat? I would imagine it's going to be quite expensive.
The Congressional Budget Office.
Although I know Dr. Wyman over here won't charge too much.
Well, thank you very much. You know, this question comes up all the time.
30 North Michigan, everybody.
Excellent.
Dental care is costly.
It is.
I know it is. Yeah.
But dental care that preempts very costly malignancy treatment or cardiovascular surgery treatments, or diabetic coma treatments, the costs are relative. The costs are much more if we have medical complications. Let's, as Sun Tzu, in his books on warfare in ancient China, said,
"Art of
war." You got it. Let's deal with the danger problems initially before they become real danger problems. Let's deal with calamities initially before they become real calamities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right. Dental care is costly. but everything is relative.
Yeah.
Medical complications are much more costly and fraught with much more aggravation for the people that have stood to fight for our freedom.
We used to have that old joke about you know your teeth are fine but your gums got to come out.
We always like to joke.
Yeah, that's right.
Providing it's somebody else that we're joking.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, Glenda.
Reason why dental care is essential because as a pre-med student, we are taught in biology class that digestion begins in your mouth.
Of course, you're right.
The chewing of your food, it starts in your mouth. So if your food is not chewed properly, then you have more complication that builds on that.
Yeah, no question.
But the infections also, I think you're talking about infections that can result as having bad dental care. It's terrible. Yeah.
591-1690.
Tylen, the enzyme.
773-591-1690 is our number. Yeah. Let's take a call from Kirk. Kirk, you're on WVON, America's Heroes Group. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
And you have my condolences. Since you were all airborne, you didn't, you weren't fortunate enough to have sailed the seven seas and the Navy. And I thought I'd the VA has a weird process, and they may have even gotten worse. But I know if you're diabetic. And your sugar levels are not controlled, then you qualify for dental care. But once you brought your sugar levels under control, you lost your dental care, which made absolutely no sense. And I'm not even sure now if you get it unless it's something like very, very something seriously wrong. It's almost like they're ignoring the importance of dental care, and I know it was that way in the private sector too. A lot of medical plans with jobs didn't give you dental, and it's almost like they treat it as though it's not a real medical science.
You know, unfortunately, I can understand that it's expensive. But it's even more expensive if you don't take care of your teeth.
No question.
Right. There's so many other things that happen if, and they come from problems in the mouth.
Yeah.
But it's almost kind of ignored.
Now, Kirk, have you been to the VA?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I take advantage of everything.
And that's good. Okay, but
I will say this: I go to Hines, and okay. I receive excellent treatment there.
Good. Okay.
But in the fleet, now this goes back to the mid '60s. War was going on and everything. If your ship was getting ready to sail out, and you needed dental work, if it was something that would have to be ongoing, like fillings, where they couldn't do it just in one sitting. They would just go ahead and pull it.
Oh, wow.
Unless you were on a like a carrier where they did have dental care, but if you were in the destroyer,
I got you. That's not a good thing. That's not good. Mm-hmm. Kirk, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Charles. Charles, hi. You're on WVON 1690, America's Heroes Group.
Hello.
Hey, Charles.
Cliff, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me, Cliff?
I can hear you. Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm getting a little crosstalk. Thank you, Cliff, for taking my call.
Sure.
And, hey, you always do an excellent job.
Thank you.
You got a wonderful panel. But let me say this. Mm-hmm. And have a wonderful panel. But let me say this. I was in the military. I was in the Navy and the Air Force.
Oh.
And I was fighting. We were fighting every day, white boys on the ship who didn't want us black guys on the ship. And it was absolutely terrible. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Mm-hmm. Keep talking.
And
I can hear you.
Yeah, so we were fighting them every day. They didn't want us on the ship. And I'm getting some crosstalk here.
Well, I can hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. So I'm saying to you with this Kaepernick thing, when I was in the Navy, let me put it this way. I'm going to do real quick. I was in a spook that sat by the door. And I was next to an officer that had all kind of Navy officers and chiefs and all this kind of stuff. And they were sitting there talking about how bad they treated black people, black men in the military. They were laughing at us, talking about us, saying, and stopped us from getting promotions. So I went and when I went and talked to other brothers about it, other brother went the next day and told him what I said, to make a long story short. So I ended up jumping ship because I had a Navy chief who didn't like black people. So I shot over to the Air Force. Went into the Air Force, ran into the same doggone problems. In reality, we could be here till tomorrow morning talking about the injustices that black men experienced in the military. And then when you, it was so bad until there was the flag.
How long ago was this, Charles?
Well, I was in 1977.
Okay.
So I retired out of the Air Force.
Yeah, okay.
I retired out of the Air Force. I'm a disabled veteran.
Well, we certainly know that racism exists everywhere, and it certainly still does in the military, but not to the degree that it did, obviously. We've had Colin Powell. We've had all kinds of people who have gotten as far as you possibly can. The thing that got me, the last person who was ahead of, you probably know this, you know, everybody wants to be the cadet captain at West Point. Mm-hmm. The last cadet captain was a black woman. And that's a hell of a thing.
Mr. Mm-hmm. Kelly, tremendous strides have been made.
Yeah.
And we have to look at these strides as something that we're proud of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel bad for the gentleman that just called.
Yeah, I do too. When
I was at the Military Academy at West Point in my class, we only had about two or three African-American gentlemen in my class. It was all men when I was there.
Right.
Now we have many more. But I want to tell you, though, all the people at the table, of the two or three gentlemen that were at the table, the two or three that were there were at the very top of our class. And one of them, I just had a chance to get together with he and his wife about a year ago at an event. He's a very, very solid orthopedic surgeon after serving in the Army and the Infantry, Airborne Ranger. He's a very special person. He rose to the very top of the Army, and he continues to rise to the very top of our country.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Wyman, one question I have, because of the fact that even in the Medicare system, dental work is not covered. And it seems to be an ongoing theme across different sectors, and it spills into the military. It seems that when it comes to financing or paying for health care, dental work is never really considered taken seriously. Why is that from your perspective?
The lack of knowledge.
Okay.
There's no question in my mind that that's true. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be fiscally conservative, and sometimes because of their endeavors to be fiscally conservative, they end up losing money in the long run.
So what can we do as America Heroes Group, what can we do as citizens, as veterans, to try to change that philosophy or change that idea?
Well, one of the reasons that Larry invited me to come to this group tonight was to show correlations between good medical results and good dental health. I think if we let the people in this country know the tremendous correlations that exist between dental care and medical care, the people will stand up and vote for what is right. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is the important thing. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is good. Let's get the word out there. Mm-hmm. Many, many years ago, we used to think one of the top causes of cardiac problems was a buildup of cholesterol or high blood pressure. Now we know with the changing in knowledge, it's inflammation.
Wow.
And a lot of the inflammation can emanate from the mouth if the gums are not properly taken care of. This is relatively recent data. Let's get this word out to the people. Get the word out to the people. The people will do what is right.
Mm. Sounds great.
And also contact the congressmen who have not signed on as co-sponsors.
We're going to help you with that, that's for sure. In fact, I'm going to be calling Congresswoman Kelly. I know her personally. Okay. And we'll find out what we can do. You gentlemen are great. Glenda?
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for your time today. We appreciate you. Any questions or concerns regarding affordable housing, social service, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. And we're located at 155 North Wacko Drive, Suite 4250. Sean, social media.
And also be sure to look at us at americasheroesgroup.org. That's hashtag AHG. And see us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Okay. Wonderful. Mentioned this evening.
Oh, and please, please meet us 6 o'clock at Pearl's Place, 3901 South Michigan. Cliff Kelly, Chuck Boyne, and America's Heroes Group. We would love to say hi and sit down and have some great Southern food. And trust me, it is good. So please meet us over there from 6 to 7:30.
Thanks, everybody. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks for having
us. And to our technical director, Isaac, great job.
Isaac Taylor. Isaac Taylor, our technical producer. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of the evening.